Still haven't found what we're looking for. Looking for the answers to all sorts of interesting mysteries. One of them, Sasquatch, Bigfoot. My guest joining us now, Philip Spencer, has been chasing these kinds of mysteries, asking these kinds of questions for a couple of decades. He's interested in ghosts, UFOs, Bigfoot, animal mutilations, all that stuff. Recently was involved in the production of a DVD and a book, I guess, called The Wild Man of Kentucky, focusing on reports of Sasquatch-like beings in Kentucky and rural areas there, but a lot more, not a lot more than just Bigfoot in the neighborhood. Philip, glad you're here with us.
Thank you, George. Good to be here.
Let's start this way. How did you get hooked on this thing?
Well, it was basically sort of accumulation for many years. I've been interested in these type of events, seems like basically my whole life. But this one area, I lived in Kentucky for many, many years and was familiar with this area. And over the years, so many strange events were occurring in this area. And then several years ago, a friend of mine told me that he had found a very strange footprint. It was a track left in mud. And he sent it to me, and we started communicating and trying to figure out what this track was. We call it the Fraser track. It's never really been identified, and that led into many other events, getting reports of events. And so I just started getting this information, keeping records of it, and one thing led to another, and we decided to go into this area.
And so you had a personal sighting? I think I remember seeing that in the program I watched today.
Yes, that was in approximately 1970, and that was in Anderson County, but that was in the western section of Anderson County. My friend and I saw this creature, that Bigfoot, Sasquatch, whatever term you want to use. We watched the creature walk through a valley. It's a flat valley that are referred to as bottoms, a river bottom. And we had a high-powered spotlight, and we were looking down through this valley and noticed these eyes. And so I pulled the light back, and there was this huge creature. And it turned and walked away. It didn't run. It wasn't slow. It was just a real steady gait. And it moved down through the valley. It looked back over its shoulder twice at us. And we actually watched it step over a fence, 3 to 4 foot fence, an old fence in this field. And then it just vanished into the night, down into this real remote area along this river.
Any footprints?
No, we didn't go out in there, and it was nighttime, and it was actually dry. It would have been hard to pick up unless something along the creeks, but this was many years ago, and we were rather shook up. We really just didn't know what to think at this time, because we just realized what we saw. But when you see something like this, it's hard to describe actually how you feel when you see something like this.
Well, you're doing a real good job of it. Why don't you give me an overview of the area, Anderson County, Fraser Land, all that, how often these things have been seen, how far they go back, and what other kinds of strange phenomena have accompanied these sightings?
Okay, George. The area, it's just absolutely a beautiful place. This is Anderson County, and the town there is Lawrenceburg. And it's rivers, creeks, valleys, the plateaus of the Kentucky River, a great deal of rock from the limestone in that area, and you also will find caves. And the name of the book and the DVD is The Wild Man of Kentucky, The Mystery of Panther Rock. Panther Rock is a cave. And over time, it just seemed to me like all these events were occurring around this cave. And that's where the first footprint was found, that we're not sure whether it's feline or canine, but it's at least a 4-inch track, which is a very, very large track. We have a picture of a track that was taken that's over 18 inches long. It's your typical, what you would always see when someone says, here's what we found of a Bigfoot track. We have lights that have been seen, sounds. We have some of the most credible testimony that a person can view on the DVD and read about in the book. And the individuals that we're talking to, they're extremely credible, very compelling. And this land is called the Fraser Land. And that is a name that was mentioned by an elderly lady that was telling about this area. And she said that many years ago, that a family with the last name of Fraser came into this land, and they were just farmers, settlers, coming in to take care of the land and live there. And they just suddenly left. Nobody knew why. But she said, all this you can see, as far as you can see, was the Fraser Land. And so I thought that was interesting, and that's why I referred to this as the Fraser Land. And the individual in the book and DVD that I referred to as the ex-farmer, he wanted to remain anonymous, and I honored that he had valid reasons. He owns a large amount of land in this area, George. And this is the place where we were focused on. We went to the cave, and we went to his property. And so many things have happened on his property that his family now will not go out at night and do the things they used to. The camping for the kids is over. They just don't go out at night into this area due to so many things happening.
You know, I don't know if you heard of the introduction when we were talking about this at the beginning of the program, but I mentioned about how, you know, the critics, the debunkers would like to say that, well, this is all a creation of mass media, that people see these stories on television and movies, and that's why they tell these tales. But this, in your area, Anderson County, it goes way back before television, doesn't it?
Oh, exactly. I spoke with some individuals. This was many years ago. And I was asking about this area and this cave. And they told me that they just referred to it as strange things have been happening in this area for many, many years. There was a Native American presence in this area. But it wasn't where the Native Americans, settled or stayed. But there were meetings there. I know that for a fact. I've discovered some areas where that was obvious once I found some things. But these stories, there is a book that was written called Panther Rock, the cave name. And this was written, I believe, in the 30s.
And yeah, you mentioned that in the DVD, right?
Right. And we were actually fortunate enough to go to the library there in Anderson County and actually look at a copy of this book. And there's only one or two known to exist. But in this book, it tells, I think the book was done in the 30s, but it tells in this book that people would tell stories about what happened at Panther Rock many, many years ago. So strange things were obviously going on in this area, perhaps back into the late 1700s.
I tell you what, Philip Spencer, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to hear this audio recording you and the team recorded. It's of a scream, a strange scream, shriek that might be a Bigfoot on audio tape. So stay with us for that. We'll be right back with more Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. Our guest, Philip Spencer, is part of the team that put together this new DVD called The Wild Man of Kentucky, The Mystery of Panther Rock. Philip, tell me a little bit about the other members of the team. I recognize one of the guys who was in the program, Philip Gardner, who I think is there is one of the founders of Reality Films and Reality Investigations, right?
Yeah, and there was O.H. Krill.
O.H. Krill. That's, right. I saw that name, and that's you know the significance of that name, right?
That's correct.
So that's a joke. That's a pseudonym.
Yeah, and there was Matt Clark. He was one of the video people there working with us, and we went in and decided we were going to go into this area and see what we could see, And honestly, you know, George, when you go into a place and you say, well, we're going to go out here at night, and you really, we didn't expect anything to happen. The odds of something happening are not really very good. But when we went out into this area, we found out that things were happening. It was truly, truly a very strange situation. It was something happened to Philip Gardner that he had never had happen before. He actually saw something out there. He has no idea what he saw, but Philip's very much a skeptic.
Well, yeah, he is a skeptic. We've had him on the program before. I've met him a couple of times. He's a really interesting guy, has a sharp mind. And I know in your film, he says, I'm not a skeptic anymore, although he's not quite sure what it was he saw, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And there's a connection to what he saw. He saw a form. It looked like a shadow form come out of a tree line and then go back in. He was very certain of what he saw. But what's interesting, at the Cave Panther Rock many years ago, I was camping one night with the embers of a campfire glowing just enough to see the tree line. We were camping up above the cave on a ledge. I also saw something very similar to what Philip describes. It was a shadow-like form, and it was moving against the tree line. And a dog that we had with us, he also was aware of this.
Well, of course, we can't. We have to take your word for that, what you saw. Same with Philip. But you do have some evidence of a sort, this audio recording. Why don't you set it up for us, how you got it, and then we'll go and give it a listen.
Okay. Now, I left some equipment with the X-Farmer, trail cam, and a small digital audio recording device. And so much has happened there. And one night I received a call from him, and he was rather excited, and he said that he had just captured something on this digital recorder that I was going to be amazed by. And so he had emailed it to me, and this was recorded. I think this is important. This was approximately 11:30, 12 o'clock in the evening. He was sitting on his porch of his cabin. There were two dogs, and this is very important. There were two dogs laying on the ground in front of him. He kept the little digital recorder and a little microphone I sent him handy where he could get to it. And all at once, he heard something. Now, which is going to be the sound you're going to play, George. And he grabbed the recorder, did a short recording, and lucky that he got it. But one thing to notice is to listen to his dogs. You'll hear this on this recording.
Well, let's go to it.
Okay.
Good. All right. Let's hear it. Okay, Philip, tell us what we heard there. It sounds like almost like a wail way out, some kind of a wail or a cry way out in the woods and a heck of a lot of cricket noise.
Exactly. Well, that's what was going on there. But it's when you have this recording, and we're going to make it available for anybody can listen to this off of my website and some others, probably over at Reality Press. And when you listen to it with headphones, it is such a haunting sound. This sound was being made 350 to 400 yards away, down, I would say, 100 feet behind a big hill between him. And he is sitting on the front porch with this little recorder. And once somebody puts on headphones and listens, just even imagining what it would have been like to have been close and heard this. But back to the dogs. The dogs that he has, they're outdoor dogs, they're farm dogs. They are very protective of their land. This land is all very rough. It's not a farm. But if you've noticed, the dogs didn't do anything. But the ex-farmer said that when this started, they stood up and they looked in that direction. Now, anything comes on this property, anything walks through, dogs or anything, these dogs go right after it. They're in a huge fenced-in area, but they head directly to it. But he said it actually looked like they were confused. And if you'll notice, towards the end, you hear them yelp and just a little whimpering and a bark, but they did not do what they always do when any kind of animal or person comes around. And I compared this, I've listened to everything, even down to howler monkeys. And my only last option I had thought was, could this possibly be a dog doing this?
Yeah, because it kind of sounds like a lonesome howl out there.
Exactly. However, why would his dogs react like they did to this? Any dog that anywhere around there makes a sound, they respond every time. That's what they do. But this happens, and they didn't. They seem confused.
Well, I tell you, Philip, I've had that experience recording the same kind of stories a lot in regard to the Skinwalker Ranch, where these dogs, these tough country dogs that'll take on anything, go into their house and hide or hide behind their master's legs or something like that they can sense these
Exactly.
things.
That was the situation. They did just the opposite of what they always do when this sound started.
Okay, so tell me, what kind of analysis have you subjected this thing to? You said you have personally sort of try to find something else that might match this thing.
Right,
Any other kind of analysis?
I have just done comparative. I've listened to wolves. I've listened to everything I could think of that I could some way tonally do a com that this could possibly be. There was times with the howler monkeys that there was a tonnage in the lower range that I felt a little that there could possibly be something there, but it wasn't conclusive at all. And I just didn't, it's not coyotes, it's not fox, it's not a wolf, not any kind of deer or bear sounds, anything like that.
And if it had been, the dogs would have reacted differently.
Instantly. Instantly. Yes, I've been around these dogs and I know how they act. And that was very unusual, completely out of text for what they normally do.
You know, one of the you also tell stories in the Wild Man of Kentucky about other kinds of creatures. We'll come back to the Bigfoot stuff in a couple of minutes after the break, but big cats. Now that sounds like that could be a natural predator that lives in that area, right? Wildcats.
Well, now wildcats, yes, they're around, but the cats that were reported to me, the sighting, the cat that was reported to me was very large, solid black, and had some very odd specifics to it.
Like what?
It ran with its stomach almost touching the ground, and it ran in an odd way. The witness, who was an excellent witness, said that its tail curled up, but it curled multiple times. And this was someone with years and years of canine and feline experience. And he said it was just, he described it as the strangest thing he had ever seen. He said it ran in an odd movement, and he estimated it to be at least 150 pounds.
Philip, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to get into some other items that you and the team saw, including these strange lights that you captured on video. And I also want to hear the story about Daniel Boone and what he encountered out there in the wilderness of Kentucky. Stay with us on Coast to Coast AM. We're talking with Philip Spencer about his investigation of the legend surrounding the Wild Man of Kentucky. Bigfoot-type creatures, other kinds of creatures, lights in the sky, and other strange phenomena. When we come back, we'll give another listen to that audio clip that we just heard, that strange howl. We'll try to save a couple of minutes for some of your calls for Philip, and we'll hear the story about Daniel Boone, the legendary frontiersman, who reports have it killed something that sounds very much like a Sasquatch way back when. Stay with us. More to come on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. We're talking with Philip Spencer, part of the team that produced this new DVD and a book by the same name, The Wild Man of Kentucky. We just heard a couple of minutes ago this really strange audio clip. I want to hear it again. A couple of you have sent in emails asking to hear it again. Let's give it a listen and see if we can figure out what this is. Well, that's certainly strange there, Philip. I don't know what the heck to make of it.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. It's just, and like I say, the dog's reaction and the distance this was away and the volume that this would have had, I can't even imagine what it would have been like to have been close to whatever was making this. Like I say, we're going to make this available for others to listen to and have it to maybe analyze and be able to use a headset and listen closely to it.
Well, maybe I can help you in that. We'll talk about that.
Okay, great.
You know, one of the points you make in the program, you and the other members of the team, is that this has been going on a long time, that there are dozens, hundreds of witnesses, eyewitnesses to the various phenomena that you describe in the program. But it goes way back, too. And I thought the most interesting story and the whole show was the one about Daniel Boone. I want you to tell that story.
It has been documented that Daniel Boone told the story that he killed a 10-foot hairy giant, and he called it a Yahoo, Y-A-H-O-O. And there's been much debate about this story for many years. But I think one thing that's important to realize is Daniel Boone was a huge fan of Jonathan Swift's Gulliver's Travels. In that book, Swift refers to, uses the name Yahoo in a descriptive manner. And it's often been speculated that possibly that's where Daniel Boone got the name. There's really not a lot of other information about what happened, a detailed report, but it is stated that Daniel Boone said he killed a 10-foot hairy giant, and he called it a Yahoo.
Where is it stated? Did he write about it in a journal or something?
No,
or
there was a gentleman by the name of Mark. It's Farher, F-A-R-A-G-H-E-R, and he did a biography. That's where I came across that information. In 1992, of Daniel Boone, and that was one of the stories that he had come across in his research.
Well, that's an interesting one. I remember the song, Killed Him a Bar, when he was only three. I don't remember
exactly
the part about Killed Him a Yahoo, though.
Yeah.
I mean, do you give that credence, that story?
I don't know. Considering, I actually think it was just a tale. I think it was something that and there's been a lot of speculation. We never know. You know, it could have happened. But I almost am leaning toward that's just a tale that Boone would tell others. Like I say, maybe it happened, but I'm pretty much sure maybe it was just a story.
Tell me about this mystery rancher, farmer guy that you interview. He had quite a few experiences there. Is he a major landowner in the area?
Yes, the ex-farmer.
And how long has he been seeing this stuff?
When in the late 70s, he came back from overseas, and he decided to buy this land. It was really rough land, but that's what he wanted. And that's where he would live, have his family. And he bought the land. And the very first night, George, he went there to camp. He decided this was a big moment in his life. He went to camp, and so he was his land. He was going to stay there. So he built him a little campfire. You can listen. On the DVD, he tells about all of this. And that night, he was laying by his little campfire, and he heard a sound. And It was a large limb broke, and then he heard what he sounded like steps, but they were making such an imprint. They were making, you know, such a sound that he couldn't understand what was there. And he said he just got up and left, but he never forgot that. And he never knew what it was, never went to see about this limb that was broke. But as it turned out, as time went on, that would just be a kind of a precursor to all these events that have happened on his property in this area.
Creatures, lights, weird animals.
Here's one of the things that happened. He heard something happening outside one night. He went up. Now, at this time, he had three dogs. This was several years ago. And they were rather large dogs, 60 to 70-pound animals. And like you say, rough, tough, country, outside dogs. He went out to the on the front porch, and he looked up the hill, and he heard a terrible fight just explode. And his dogs were attacking something. He could see this creature. And he said it was so odd. He said it actually looked like a huge sheepdog. He said that's what came to his mind when he finally got his sight on this creature. And his dogs were going in on it and attacking it. And he could hear the dogs yelping and screaming. And at times he could even see this creature swipe its like paw. It was on four legs, wasn't standing upright. Had a lightish cast to it, and it would just smack the dogs, and they'd go rolling. Well, he had had a very long day. He was exhausted, not feeling well. He started to get a weapon and go up there, but he thought, well, whatever this is, the dogs can take care of themselves. They always have. He went back in the house, and just as he got ready to lay down, he thought, there was one thing he just didn't realize. The dogs were screaming, fighting. But whatever this was did not make a sound. He never heard a sound out of this animal, this creature. The next morning, he found his two Dobermans laying in his yard with huge rips in their faces. The larger dog, the 70-pound dog, was never seen again. He is absolutely convinced that whatever was there killed his dog and took it away.
Well, I mean, could it be something else that lives in the area, a bear or a cat or something like that?
Well, my thoughts on that, maybe I'm wrong about this. I cannot imagine anything not making a sound when it's engaged in a struggle of this nature, and it never made a sound. So the description he saw doesn't really fit a cat. He said it was structured, stocky. He said it wasn't like he would see a cat, a mountain lion, or anything, which, by the way, are not supposed to even be around there. A bear, he said it wasn't like a bear, but he said the color was almost gray. That was very distinctive. So he's not sure what it was. There were no tracks. He looked thoroughly. But whatever this was had huge claws. The gashes in the dog's side of the dog's face were very large, where this whatever this was had hit their face.
And I remember in the DVD that there was also a cow that came home. I don't know if it's the same rancher or not, but a cow that was all torn up.
Well, as we were talking earlier, George, I mentioned what we call the Fraser track, and this can be seen off of my website. Also, I've put up an overview on this because this started everything, actually. And a week after this track was found, approximately 1 mile away on another piece of land, man and woman on it, I went and spoke with them personally about this. The lady was in the kitchen. She heard something outside. This was daytime. And she looked, and one of their cows, this was a 700-pound cow, had crashed through a gate and had come into the yard. So she went out, her husband went out. The cow was standing there. Its eye had been ripped out of its socket. Its ears had been torn off to the bone. Its back had several large rips in it. Now, I spoke with the man who is an experienced outdoorsman, very much so, knows his land, knows the animals. And he told me, he said, Philip, he said, I'm going to tell you, I don't know what did that to that cow. He said, but I'll never believe it was a dog. He said, I find it extremely hard to believe it was a cat because there is nothing done to the throat. And a large cat will go for the throat of an animal. And that cow survived, George. They had a picture, but they couldn't find it. They actually took a picture I tried so hard to get. But a veterinarian was called and saved that cow's life. And they had it until approximately a year or so before we were there.
We have a couple minutes left. I'd like you to tell us about the lights that you saw. You captured some of these on video because I saw it this afternoon when I watched the program.
But correct.
You're out there. It's real spooky. You're in the middle of nowhere. These lights start appearing after you've heard these strange sounds all around you. And just for the listener's sake, there are no ranches, no homes,
nothing.
No cars out there in the middle of the woods.
We even went the next day, and we went in the direction of the lights looking to see if we could find anything. We really looked into that, and there was nothing. These lights just appeared in this. There is a field that the ex-farmer keeps mowed, and that's where the children would go and camp out with their friends, which now has all come to a halt. They wouldn't even consider it. And we had these strange events happening. Movement through the trees like something was flowing through them, which turned out to be other witnesses also had this same thing happen to them there. And then these lights appeared. They just suddenly appeared in the field. We actually videotaped them. We have them on the DVD and people can see them. And you could not see them with the naked eye. We were seeing them through the night vision. And we moved in that direction, but as we got up to where they were, and like I say, we looked very hard trying to figure out, are we seeing something in a distance? Is this something, a perspective that we're being thrown off by something? There was nothing. The lights came, the lights went. We don't know what they were.
One other question, and then I'll try to get to a couple of calls so we can do them real quick. In the beginning of this program, there's narration, and it goes through the Bigfoot Sasquatch legend, and then they're talking about some specific evidence that's been found, and the guy, the narrator, says that a couple of skeletons were found. I don't know if that's in Kentucky or you know anything about that, but he mentions these 7-foot, 8-foot tall skeletons that are found during a dig somewhere, and I'm wondering, whoa, slow down there, pal. Let's go back to talk about the skeletons. Where are they? Do you know anything about that?
There have been stories over the years about very, very large skeletons found in the eastern part of Kentucky. Now, there were also stories told out west, I believe actually around the Grand Canyon, of very large skeletons found. To my knowledge, there's nothing physical concerning that. But those stories have been told. I don't have the real specifics on them, but I have read those. I found them fascinating.
Yeah, there was a story out here in the West about the red-headed giants that we're going to jump
it.
Into.
That's the one, George. Yes.
I just didn't know if these skeletons were Bigfoot or not, and where, if so, where they were.
I think that was more in a reference to just another unusual happening in the Kentucky area, because
right.
Those stories came out of the eastern part of Kentucky.
Well, we got somebody from Kentucky on the phone. His name is Jim. He's on our East of the Rockies line. Jim, what's your question for Philip Spencer? How you doing? Jim is not there. West of the Rockies, Ken in Orange County, California. Are you there?
Hello.
Hey, Ken. How you doing? What's your question for Philip Spencer?
Well, I was listening to the show laying in bed with two of my cats who were sound asleep. And when you played the sound of that creature, both cats woke up almost instantly, freaked out, and we hid under the bed. And I've had the cats for years, and they've never, they're house cats, they've never reacted to anything at all anything on TV or the radio, dogs barking outside, coyotes howling, but they reacted to this sound. And I was wondering if you've had any other people email or call in whose pets may have heard that sound and reacted.
Thanks for the question, Ken. Appreciate it. Philip?
Well, this tonight is the first time this has been publicly heard. But that's very interesting, and there might be a good little experiment to see how other animals react by playing that.
Okay, you'll let us know how that goes.
Sure
tell
will.
Me this. Have you had any of the classic cattle mutilations in that area? I know you mentioned the dogs and that one cow.
One many years ago, and this was in another area of Anderson County by a small lake. And it just coincidentally, there had been reports around this lake of a strange buzzing sound in the sky. And I had emailed Linda Moten Howe about this. And she said that was something common, but she had reports like that. And a man had called me to help him get a bull out of a barn that had died. And when I got there, the eye had been removed, and other areas of this bull had been removed. He didn't pay a lot of attention to it. He considered the bull had been in there for I forget how many days, but I thought that was very coincidental, and like I say, he didn't take much notice of it. He thought it was animals had done it. I never did really think that's what happened. It looked like very clean removal to me.
Other than these lights that you've seen, is there a history of UFO activity in the area, the classic flying saucer kind of stuff?
Yes. This place just seems to have it all. Myself and another individual had an experience where we were working on some electronic equipment out in an open area of a rock quarry. And all of a sudden, it was just like a wind came up. It was very strange to have happen. And we felt like we couldn't move. And I heard him say, what's going on? And I looked up. George, I don't know why I looked up, but just a great distance up in the air were these two very white discs. I don't know what the connection was, what happened, but they were just perfectly round. As a matter of fact, I had enough time to grab my binoculars and look at them, and so did the man with me. But the wind and everything stopped, and this really, really shook up this other individual. It really did. And he left. He didn't want to talk about it. He still doesn't want to talk about it. But as I watched them, all of a sudden they started easing off to the east. They moved in unison, and as they moved, they got faster, and they just went out of sight. I don't know what they were. I don't know what happened, but that certainly did happen.
Tell me this one final question, Phil, because we're about out of time. You got to do this quickly. What are these things? Flesh and blood animal? Something else?
Oh, I've been asked this so many times. George, they're an upright, bipedal, hairy, large animal seen worldwide.
And that's all we know.
That's basically what we have.
Philip Spencer, the project is the Wild Man of Kentucky. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate it, and you'll have to check in with us and give us an update from time to time. When we come back, David Politis and the Hoopa Project. Stay with us for Coast to Coast AM.